John. Because John now talks about the present in line with the future. And again, this is in relation to verses 2 and 3 of 1 John of chapter 3. Guess what's on my mind before I start this is, is our visitor Joe, who came, was here with us for Sunday school and didn't stay. he told me why he didn't. Said, we don't use these. You gotta adjust it. How's that?
Get this out of your beard. It's designed for, the lapel's designed for like a tie. But sure, nobody wears a sweater.
I could start wearing ties again. No? No. Yeah. What's that? Oh, okay. Okay. All right. I'll try not to do that. What's that? Oh, no. No, no. I've had this for years. I use it. What's that? Yeah. It used to be black, but it's not anymore. There's not much black in there. Huh? I guess so, yeah. Anyway, our visitor that was here, you know, he told me it's 87, you know, and he's been searching for a long time. Unfortunately, with people in that way, they often don't find what they're searching for because they want particular things, you know. He told me he didn't understand why, and he told Debbie that too, why we studied the Old Testament. Well, it's important that we know those things. But one of the things that he said that really struck with me is that how do we get people to, get along with one another and so forth, you know, like what's happening over in the Middle East and that. Well, it all comes down to, and folks, it's, none of that's going to happen until he comes back again. There's always going to be those things. But what's going on and has been going for hundreds of years over in the Middle East, we call the Middle East, that's not going to be solved.
Now it's here in the United States.
What's that? That could come, but whatever happens, what have you? That's one of the things we're trying to tell them that what's happening over there, you know, is that Jesus is the answer. He is the answer, but what it's going to take is transformation. See, and that's the whole thing about the scriptures and what Jesus wants to get across to us. It's just what Paul said, transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's not so much a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's within us. It's the inner man. So like I said last week, what I wanted to talk about this morning, and I want your input, see, See, I believe that yes, in the old days, and that, and we preachers used to think that way and that, but I'm getting away from that somewhat. It's that we would just stand up here, you know, and we talk to y'all. We just preach to you. And you and people imbibe it, you know, and then they go out, then they go on about their business and that. But I believe that what the Lord has, the task that he has given us as evangelists, see, is yes, to evangelize, to make disciples of Christ. But to make disciples of Christ, as followers of Christ, it's learners of Christ, you see. It's an ongoing process. But it's something that we're all in together. Not solitary. Not just me up here, you know, giving you messages, but what we ourselves are getting out of it. See? And that's important, see? It's important to see that we learn from one another. It's important, yeah, that we hear from others who come and say, well, you know, what their opinions are or what have you, you know. But it's also important to try to get them to see that as Christians, we're all in it together. If we're Christians, we're all in it together. And as I told Joel this morning, he said, we don't join a church. We don't join a church. I know that's a common thought or what have you, and it's been common teaching, but we don't join a church. You know, when you're immersed, I'll give young Stuart as an example because he was our latest one. When young Stuart was immersed a year ago, he didn't join the church, Crown Hill Church. The Lord, through his baptism, through his arising, the newness of life, the Lord added him to his church. All of us who have went through that, young Carson went through that. Arise in the newness of life. He added him to the church. The Lord did. He adds us to the church. We don't join it. He adds us. What's that?
He adds us to the book of life.
He adds us to the book of life, yes. So, and that's important to see. And he doesn't disjoin us or take us away from the church. People can do that themselves, take themselves away from the church. And many, unfortunately, brothers and sisters, are doing that. There are many, and I've heard numbers of people tell me, I don't need church. I can be a Christian without it. Really? Maybe in a way you can, but you can't stay as a disciple of Christ and as a Christian without the church. Without other believers. That's why Paul said, forsake not the assembling of one another, but to encourage one another. That's what we're to do, to encourage one another. We need one another. We can't do it on our own. Satan is out there, and he wants us away from the church. But we can't do it on our own. We need one another. Because what is the ultimate goal? And you see, that's what John is saying here. That's why the epistles of John, as well as the New Testament as a whole, it's so important. What John says here about the Lord, about Jesus. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope centered, this hope on him, purifies himself just as he is pure. What's that? 1 John 3, 2 through 3. It's like what John Stott says. John here confesses that the exact state and condition of the redeemed in heaven has not been revealed to him. John's an apostle. That hasn't been revealed to him. You read the book of Revelation that the Lord gave John, and nowhere in there does it tell us or does John say when he appears what we're going to be like or what we're going to have or what we're going to be. And this is important also to see in verse 2 of 1 John 3. There's a neuter interrogative pronoun here, and it is what? As I said last week, it is what, not who. He says, and it has not appeared as yet what, not who. Who deals with our identity? If we are a Christian, if we are in Christ, we already have an identity. Now, there is confusion today about identity, is there not? And that is brought on by a very small minority, but that small minority is striving to confuse everything. Well, who's behind that? Satan is behind that. Exactly. Because the identity, you see, now what? It's moving? Anyway, we have an identity, you see? That's why in 1 John 3, 2 here, it's not a who, it's a what. It does not, what he says here, it has not appeared as yet what we will be. You see, our identity, he's talking to Christians, he's talking to us, he's talking to his audience, and what he's saying is our identity is firm. Our identity is already set. Our identity is in Christ. But it does not yet appear what we will be. Now, you see, that's something for us to think about. And I asked you to think about it last week. Have you done any thinking on that? See, it says, what he says here, it has not appeared as yet what we will be. Not who, but what. We know that when he appears. That's his coming again. That's when he comes for the last and final time. Not as the lamb, but as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And then the lamb part comes later. We will be like him because we will see him See, the word that John uses there means see literally, see physically. We're not going to see him as some sort of ghost or apparition. We're going to really see him. And it says we're going to see him as he is. Now, we don't know what's involved in our ultimate transformation. Now, there are some who say, well, I hope that when Jesus comes again, I'm still alive. But I haven't died. But you want to tell people when they tell me that? Because you see, what they're saying is they don't want to die. Okay. You grant them that. And there will be those who are, Paul tells us that, doesn't he? There will be those who are alive when he comes again, right? Okay. But then what? Sure. They're not dead. But no matter how you cut it, when he comes back again, in some shape or form, in some way, we are all dead or alive. We're going to be changed. We're going to be transformed. See, some people think that when he comes again, they want to be just like they are. They want to stay just like they are. I'm very like it the way I am. I want to be the way I am. Isn't that odd that some people would think that? Do you want to be that way, Sharon? Isn't that odd that some people think that way, though? They want to stay the same. But when he comes back again, everybody's going to be changed. Transform. Now here's the thing to think about, the kicker of this. You see, what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:9 is this: but just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, literally, and ear hasn't heard, you haven't heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. What he says there, see? The gloriousness of that. You see, we don't know what. We do know who, if we're in Christ. Our identity is already set. We're in Christ. So we know who. It's us, Christians. Okay? But we don't know what. But we do know when. That's what John says. At his coming. When he comes for the last time. Now notice something here though. What John says here. When he comes again. John says. We know that when he appeared, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him. Because we will see him just as he is. Do you know there's a teaching out there in some churches and some on the television, radio, that you can hear him? Joel Osteen is one who teaches this. Ken Copeland, or Kenneth Hagin, what's that guy's name? Copeland, a number of those others teach this, that what that means is that we're going to be little gods. We're going to be little gods. And one of the things that they teach is that we can be little gods now, because we have to That's what they call the word of faith school, word of faith teaching. Our words, what we speak becomes us, you see. So if we think and we speak of the fact that we can be a little God, then we can be. That's a teaching out there, and many people are buying into that. That's not, brothers and sisters, that's not scriptural, and that's not what this means. But many people think that what that means is that we become exactly like Christ. That we become Him. That we take on divine nature. Now I ask you, is that what John is saying? Okay. If we know that John is not saying this, it doesn't mean that we're going to be deity, as some like to say. What does it refer to? John gives a reason. He says, as he is. What does that mean? Huh? Purified? Okay. What's that? And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. What? We know that when He appears, we will be like Him. See, and that's another little word that people have misconstrued so much that they do not understand the meaning of it anymore. Is that word like? What does like mean? What's that?
The same.
Does it, yeah, does it mean the same thing? Doesn't. It doesn't mean exactly the same. What does like mean, Stuart? Mm-hmm. Like, similar. Likeness means similar. It doesn't mean just as. So what John is saying here, it doesn't mean that when Jesus comes back again, when He appears, we are going to be like Him just as He is. That doesn't mean we're going to be little Christ or we're going to be another Christ. You know, we're going to take on deity. That is not what it means. But what it does mean is what Stuart said. When He comes back again, we're going to see Him just as He is. Well, how is Christ now? What's that? Okay, He's resurrected. True. And what? We sing about this all the time. He's glorified. Okay? He's glorified. We're going to see Jesus. Okay? His presence. We're not going to see an apparition. We're not going to see a ghost. We're going to actually see Jesus. But we're going to see Him in His glorified body. Okay? And as we see Him in His glorified body as who He is, what it means is and this is the important part about the perfection and the completeness. What it means then, we're going to see Him as He is. We are going to see Jesus's, how can I put this? His essential character. His glorified body. What that means to me, brothers and sisters, is this. We're going to see Jesus as true to who He is. We're going to see His essential character. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All of that's wrapped up in Him. That's why name is so important. You see, we have a new name. It's written down in glory, right? Our name is written in the book, in the Lamb's book of life. That's his book of life. Well, what does that mean? See, Mike and I have been preached on that, and I've been preaching on that. Name is important. See, not just the fact my name is Lyle Gregory. No. What it mean? It doesn't mean that when he comes back again, that Jesus is going to say, Lyle Gregory, I changed your name. Well, you changed it to, Lord, Lyle Gregory. Well, that's not a change. Well, I'm giving you a new name. So what is that name? See, we've got to divorce ourselves from thinking this way. We have got to begin to, brothers and sisters, think spiritually. We know one another by our names, right? That's how we identify one another. See, when he comes back again, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall be like him as he is. What that means is Jesus has given us a new name, a name written in the book of life. But what that name has to do with is our character, the essentialness of who we are true to. This is what we have got to, this is what we have got to get to. This is what people miss. It's in essence what Paul said in Philippians 2. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, unite in spirit, intent on one purpose, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And here comes the key. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. That attitude. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. And then Paul goes on to there. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him here, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. At the name. Does it mean just at the speaking of the name of Jesus? You see, brothers and sisters, if we think that, and that's why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1 is so important, and what it means about our baptism. We take on, when we're immersed into Christ, when we rise in the newness of life, we are to take on the likeness and character of Christ. Well, see, when he comes back again, we will see him, who he is, his essentialness, his character, what all that is wrapped up in. And when we see him as he is, we shall be like him. What that means is that we will be completed. We will be perfected in our, we have to see this, in our character. in our essentialness. That's why it's not a who. That's why what John says is a what. What we will be. See, who we are has already been determined if we're in Christ. Our identity is in Him. But what we will be has not been determined yet. So what determines that? That's what John's going to talk about going on. Because it all has to do with our transformation. No matter how we look at it, whether we're dead and we come back, our spirits come back when He comes back again, or we're alive, we're all going to be changed. We're all going to be transformed. But we're going to be transformed and made complete and whole as to who. Or I should say, as to what we are. Not who, as John says, but as to what. And it has to do, brothers and sisters, with our character. That's why name is so important. That's why the scriptures say our names are written in the book of life. It's not that Tony or Patty or Dwayne or Stuart or Mike or any of us that particular name is written in the book of life. Uh-uh. It means who we, not who, again, what we essentially are. Having to do with our character. That's why this is so important. The word and the life. And what Paul said in Romans 12. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's a lifelong thing, you see. That's why what John says here is so magnificent. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him in His essentialness. True to who and what He is.
Would that not be love?
What's that?
Would that not be love?
Pure God's love? It's more than that. It's we're going to see Jesus in all of His essential character. Not just the love part, although it's wrapped up in that, Renee. But we're going to see Him in His complete totality, essential character. And so what John is saying there, it doesn't appear yet what we will be. But when He comes again, we will be like Him, similar. We will be like Him, for we will be just as He is. What that means is that we will be completed. We will be perfect. Our essentialness, our essential character will have been brought to wholeness. That's why later, you read in Revelation, brothers and sisters, why there is no more pain, why there is no more sorrow, why there is no more death. Because we all will have been brought to wholeness. We will all have been ultimately transformed. That's what John is getting at. And the reason why he is doing this is because those Gnostics out there, the heretics in John's day, are saying, no, that's not what it is at all. We're going to be little gods. We are little gods. That's what they believe. That's what many people, unfortunately, believe today. But that's not what the scriptures teach. That's not what John is saying. And that's why he says, And everyone who has this hope, well, what hope? You see, on him purifies himself just as he is pure. What's the hope? You see, people had the idea, brothers and sisters, that the hope is, well, I want to reach heaven. I want to be in heaven. That's my hope. Isn't that your hope? Well, yes and no. That's not what John's talking about. The hope, brothers and sisters, is of being like Christ. Of being ultimately transformed. That's what he's talking about. That's why John is saying, fix your hope on him. You keep your eyes on him. Not the world, not others, but on him. That's what he's saying. See, that's on Christ. And what he says here, it's a continuing thing. He used the present participle, which means continuous action. And it is a continuous source of influence on how we live as Christians. Hope. You see, hope, yes, looks to the future. And it should. But hope also anticipates, should it not? Hope is also a desire. And it should be something that we're confident in. But you see, if any of those things are missing as far as hope is concerned, and that's where many people are going wrong or going off. See, if any one of those things is missing as far as hope is concerned, then it's not hope. It's just wishing. And wishing is not hope. If any one of these three elements as far as hope is concerned, if you're not looking to the future, if you're not anticipating, if you don't have confidence, fix your eyes on him, on being on him. You have a desire. If any one of those are missing, it's just wish fulfillment. It's not hope. But John says, if we do so, we purify ourselves. You see, our future glory is contingent upon this. We have to live as we have been instructed to do. Yes. And that's a present tense verb as well. So it means continuous action. However, we have to live as we have been instructed to. But does that mean we can make other people live as he instructs them to? We can help one another live as he has instructed us to if we allow ourselves to do that. But we cannot make anyone live as he wants them to do. See, that's why there's no answer as far as what our friend Joe brought out as far as an answer to the Middle East or our issues even within our own country and elsewhere. That's why I like what Brother Reese says concerning this. Purifies himself, strongly suggests freedom of the will to choose how one will live. The believer constantly pursues holiness, without which no man shall see God. Hebrews 12:14. As our eternal lives begin, and this is something else we have to teach one another, and we have to teach others when we become Christian. Eternal life begins as soon as we become a Christian. not in the by and by. As he says, as our eternal lives begin here and now, so does our reflection of the image of Christ. The image of Christ, as he is pure. As Reese went on to say, he was and is the perfect realization of conformity, Jesus, of conformity to God's standard of purity. You see, the first Adam, he lost everything by his disobedience and brought in fallenness and corruption into the world. And he forfeited. But the last Adam, there's been Adams in between. Notice, nowhere in Scripture does it say that Jesus was the second Adam. He's the last Adam, the Son of Man. The last Adam, by his obedience, has restored what the previous Adams lost. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we close with that. Notice what Paul says. But we all, with unveiled face, you see this? With unveiled face. Paul's not saying we have a mask on and it's going to be unveiled. He says, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory, the character of the Lord, are being transformed, present tense, continuous action, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. That's what John is saying, is that when he appears again, we are going to have our ultimate, complete transformation. And that's what we need to fix our eyes upon, see? Is being transformed into his likeness, his image, his character. That's what that is referring to. That all makes sense? That's something for us to encourage one another about, you see. And John's going to get into that further, how we go about doing that, how we live, see. Let's stand, we're going to sing, Trust and Obey.